You're weird. You're just a weird dude. I forgot how weird you are.
What's great is...
Yeah. It's only been like two weeks.
It's been 2 weeks and I forgot.
You're like, oh, man. That guy again. He's weird.
Hey, fellas.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
You know what it's time for?
A podcast.
Oh, it's...
It's time for a tuning machine?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Before we get started, we had a request a couple weeks ago. Uh-huh. Let me see if I can find this. Give me
to stop doing this?
Here we go. No, just bear with me for just a hot minute.
Oh, man. One of these days, we're going to start this, and Andy's going to be prepared, and we're going to lose our shit.
We don't know what to do. We sit there waiting 15 minutes to start. Like, really?
I was ready.
We're already ready?
I was ready to go, but then I remembered something. I remembered that a yaffer, Don Wayne, tweeted a week or two ago. He said, hey, what are the chords to the Yaff song? I'm a very amateur guitar player. Me too.
You'll be able to relate to this.
And would like to learn the song to annoy my wife and kids.
Just like Andy. Wow, yeah, you guys like have a lot in common.
Hashtag living life on the edge. Okay, so by all means, let's do a little sing-along, yeah?
A little guitar lesson. What do you need to do? Shout out the chords?
Yeah, it's a G. It starts in a G. You know what I stole the song from, kind of?
No.
There's always tomorrow or dreams to come true. Believe in yourself, come on.
Okay, we got. Let's start the real song.
It was a little Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. There's always tomorrow that Clarice sings. That was a starting point. I thought that was, wanted something that was... that would mash people's hearts.
So you're just going to shout out the chords in the middle of the song?
I figured we'd just go through it once.
Why don't you just, we'll sing it, and then when you change chords, just scream out the chords, and me and Larry will keep on singing.
Because then it's just going to be me screaming chords.
Yeah, that'll be better. That way we don't have to hear the song twice.
It's G, okay. And then an E minor, then an A minor.
Would you say that E minor is the minor chords? Minor key?
Those are butter.
Mm. Relative minor key, right?
What's that?
That's the relative minor key of G, is E minor.
Yes. Uh-huh. Very well done. Great music theory, Josh.
and the fourth of the E minor key would be A minor.
Wow. You're putting on a clinic here. G, E minor, D.
I didn't know we were going to have to learn something today.
You went into the fifth of the G. Nice, Andy.
Yeah,
and that resolves back into the root chord, which is?
Whoa, no, hold on, though. We're going to do a third, right? And do the...
Oh.
The B-flat minor?
I think we lost a third of our listeners already.
There's the B-flat minor?
B-flat minor?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the fifth of the relative minor key, right? Correct.
Yeah. And back to a C.
The fourth of the root chord, which is G major.
Well done.
And then into the dominant. You can play a diminished fifth for that D, and then that would resolve back into G sweetly.
Larry's asleep.
I think he's not even here anymore.
I in this episode I portray the average listener to this podcast.
You look like you're in a cave, a coal mine in West Virginia. Like you have just a half hour of oxygen left.
He looks like one of the reporters during the Iraq War.
No, this is one from one of those sci-fi episodes where, somebody's the guy is the last one left. If anyone gets this transmission, I need
don't let them in.
Yeah. All of a sudden the Blair Witch comes in.
Good thing we're doing visual bits. That's great for everybody listening too. Anyway, now back to music theory.
I took a screenshot of it. Maybe we can say it, share it with people. But then the real pizzazz there. It ends with that that last R to C.
Nice.
Initial D.
D. Friends.
Resolves back to the G, of course.
Yep, because the D always it suspends an E. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It brings tension.
So who's ready to just kick the shit out of this.
Give me that G.
Here comes Don. Play along at home.
When there's always tomorrow. Oh, sorry.
The trenches and
tune into this podcast.
Your artificial friends. There you go. That was fun. A little sing along. Who brought s'mores?
God. Yeah, I look like I'm around a digital campfire. That's good.
Yeah.
Hey, how you guys doing in these uncertain times?
Oh boy, yeah, they're so uncertain. We barely heard what you said, Josh. That was just like digital animal noises.
It just died right there. Yeah, now I'm back.
Okay.
Well, good. I think Andy and I both can speak to in these uncertain times. How many spots have you said that?
Did you see? I tweeted that. I was like 2 months ago. I tweeted something like, "If I hear somebody say these unprecedented times one more time, I'm going to shit." Yeah. That was 2 months ago.
You want to know my favorite copy for this past week that was oriented towards the issues people are having in dealing with these uncertain times came from the fine folks at, and I am not shitting you, Odor Eaters. Who thought that no more appropriate time to tout their fine products than in these uncertain times. Stinky feet couldn't be more of an issue. Is that anywhere near one of the biggest issues that any of us are thinking about right now? I am not shitting you. But God bless them. God bless them. Thanks for spending money and keeping Josh and me employed.
That's amazing. Now you get a little mug of coffee or a tea. What's going on there? What are you drinking?
It's tea time for me.
Oh, that's just a sippy.
It's a nice sunny day here, but the house is rather chilly. There's a little wind coming, like a marine layer kind of swooping in from the ocean, and we're a little chilly. And I have to say, in my little isolated closet, it gets a little cold in here. So I guess I'm warming up with a small tea. Just nice. A small tea to chat with me blokes. Small tea to chat with me blokes.
Stop it.
Oh, all that guitar chord crap was highly entertaining. But I bring out my Cockney character, Cheeky. That's Cheeky.
Oh, God. Oh, by the way, I just heard a Sleaford Mods song. You know who they are? They're this electronic punk band. And the guy is, you know, couldn't be more Cockney. But it's like punk rock, but it's a little bit electronic. And there's a song called McFlurry that just came out. And I listened to it. I have no idea what he's saying. He's like, Boris Johnson, fuck off. You know, going. It's just the talking blues from this guy. I was laughing my ass off, and I have no idea what he said. I wish there was a clean version so I could play it on the radio.
I love that. I love on the occasion that Charlotte and I will watch, you know, a BBC series, there's at least, you know, a good 15 minutes before I look over at her and go, should we put the closed captioning on? Because I'm catching I'm using a lot of context clues to figure out what's going on, but I'd love to hear what these people are saying. Especially
that, and then when they start busting out the slang that you don't, you have no idea what the hell they're talking about.
Apples and pears, eh? it gets a little impenetrable after a while, but you're there with a chill. Today is a pool day for us.
It's a little on the warm side where you are.
It's glorious out there. I was out just outside a minute ago, and I'm all sweaty and disgusting right now. I did towel off, but I was out tearing down our pergola outside. Saturday can't go by without me doing some kind of.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you ripping apart now?
Yeah. We have, you know, this pergola out back on the back porch, and, you know, it's clear that it was done in two sections. like somebody came and they put up a pergola, and you can see it has a certain type of architecture. And then you can see some, you know, jagoff who didn't know what they were doing laid more concrete out because it's kind of wavy and not very straight and doesn't quite match up with the other patch. And they put out an even longer length of pergola. It was just, it was like made out of Tinker Toys. It was a ridiculous thing. So we decided, hey, why don't we take that down, that second part of it? We still have a pergola. We could have some sun space out there where you could, you know, be out and you know, and have a little, put our fire out there, a little fire pit, all those kinds of things. But you could kind of see the back of the house and so forth. So maybe we should take that down. Well, I started taking it down. And a couple of things. One, it's always a harder job than you imagine.
Sure.
They put so many nails in this shit, like it was built for the apocalypse. It's incredible how many nails are in it. The other thing that I've realized is it's kind of a spider's clubhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. Every time I'm underneath with a little, you know, hand sledge, and I'm pounding the that's 2x2. I'm pounding them up, you know, out of the you know, the rafters, get them out of there, and you know, two or three spiders, but you know, brown widows will come down and like fly onto me. I just smashed so many baby spiders with a sledgehammer today. Bro. Yeah, it was sad, but almost done. What I'm waiting for. Anytime in this next hour, Laura is going to go out there and see all of the pieces of wood with nails sticking straight up.
Oh, good.
And she's going to tell me, it's a pool day. I told you it was a pool day. And I'm going to catch heaps of shit.
But will you get more shit over that or the impression of Laura in that I'm going to isolate and send to her?
Well, you don't have to. Here's the funny thing. A couple of weeks ago, I said something shitty about her. What did I say? I said, we were talking about, have you cut
which,
your own
which
hair
which one,
yet?
Andy? It's hard for us to keep track.
I think it was you, Larry, or maybe it was you, Josh. I think it was you, Larry, though, who said, hey, anybody resort to cutting their own hair yet? And I said, no. And you're like, well, Laura cut it? I'm like, fuck no. There's no way. She can't darn the sock. There's no way I'd let her cut my hair. Well, she listens to the first podcast, I think, in months. Uh-huh. Just happens to come home yesterday and say, Sal, you don't trust me to cut your hair, is it? So, yeah, I'll catch heaps of shit for all,
Cindy,
all of this.
Cindy gave me my Corona cut last week.
Nice. What did she use for it?
Just like just like a buzz cut thing. Oh my God. I got to tell you, my old man used the Flobee.
He dug out the Flobee?
He dug out the Flobee. And he
did he use it on your mom?
No. He told me because he hooked it up to the vacuum and he goes, that damn thing near stuck to my head. The suction was too strong. So he like burnt the side of his head.
Oh no. Oh, was there anybody documenting this by chance?
No. Oh. My brother told me, and he's like, I would have done anything in the world to just sat there and watch that happen. No. But so I called my old man like an hour later. I'm like, so you any news you want to tell me? He's like, I used the Flobee. Burnt my temple or something like that because it sucked too hard on it. I don't know what happened, but yeah, the Flobee has been used. I'm shocked that I guarantee those blades are just like dull butter knives. It's things like 30 years old.
Oh no. Nice.
Yeah.
He used a vintage Flobee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He used the first generation Flobee.
Do you agree with, I heard one time that something is an antique. It has to be 25 years old. Doesn't that sound really young for something to be considered an antique?
For an antique, but, well, I was listening to a Los Angeles classic rock station this morning, and they played Nothing Else Matters by Metallica, and I was like, I remember when this came out, and then I was like, holy shit, that's like 30 years ago. I guess that is it's got to be classic rock, right? It's 30 years old.
I had the same conversation with you this last week, Larry.
What's that
about? Like K Earth?
Yeah.
I'm like, what is the most recent song that right. K-Earth has played? Because when I moved to L.A. in, you know, in 97, there were still Beatles being played on K-Earth.
Well, we were playing Beatles up until 5 years ago. I mean, the idea of playing songs that are 20, 30, and 40 years old was kind of always what K-Earth was about. And then they just sat there for a long time. And you know, all the music got that much older and they never really adjusted. So when I first got there was when they first started playing 80s, and then we folded in 90s. But if you think about it, you know, 20, 30, 40 year old songs are what they play.
Yeah, 1985.
And it just doesn't seem, you know, part of the difference is one, our ages and stuff we grew up with, but also sonically, it's like the difference between what music in the 70s sounded like versus music in the 50s, say, is just leaps and bounds between how they developed, you know, sonically and all the technology that changed and then moving from mono to stereo and multi-tracking. I mean, the advancement of recording is so stuff that was recorded in the 70s doesn't sound that drastically different than stuff you record today. And for that matter, there are still people who kind of go back to analog and actually try and make that sound. So
sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why, you know, there are so many artists like Prince and Michael Jackson stuff. And if you can say his name anymore, and so much of that other stuff, it's produced beautifully that holds up. And a lot of bands are trying to sound like, you know,
vintage equipment and so forth. You know, it's funny, Lara, for we'll get back to Mother's Day in just a second, but that's what started this is, you know, I said, we can do whatever you want, you know, on Mother's Day. And one of the things she said was, can we watch Top Gun?
What?
What?
I said, sure. Anyway, we'll go back to that in a minute. But that led to last night to her wanting to watch Cocktail.
Oh, so there's a Tom Cruise thing going on.
Definitely.
Yeah.
She was pretty attracted to him before he went all, you know, Scientology. And anyway,
well, weren't we all?
Yeah. Yeah. True story. I was pretty gay for him. But so we're watching Cocktail, and Elizabeth Shue. There's nobody hotter. There's nobody hotter than Elizabeth Shue in her 20s. Good God.
Yeah.
Good God. Anyway, there's a scene in there where, what song is it they're singing? Tom Cruise and the British guy, Coughlin, they're going down the street and they're singing a song from the 60s. What song was it? Anyway, I said to Laura, I'm like, do you realize this movie was made in 88, I believe?
Right.
That song they're singing was from 67 or something. Do you realize that when they're singing this, that was more recent, that music was made, than it was from when this movie was made to now? And I was like, right. Oh my God. It's shocking to think how long ago some of that, you know, the stuff in the 80s was from. It's it truly is, you know, if you have an oldie station. I remember, you know, was it like 2003, 4, 5 when 80s started popping up on K-Earth and everybody's like, what? What's happening? Boulder Dash. But it would seem ridiculous, you know, that you weren't doing it. And then
have you ever really heard somebody say Boulder Dash?
Like I just said it.
Yeah, but have you ever actually... Because I think I might have to hit somebody if they said that around.
Yeah, Andy said it. He stuck his thumbs into his vest and he grabbed the side of his handlebar mustache.
Yeah, while he's twisting it.
Balderdash. Why, there will be fisticuffs over this kerfuffle.
I like to do that.
And then he raised his fist, ye old boxing style.
Yeah. My Duke's up. Daniel Day-Lewis. And
yeah, exactly.
We are about to come to blows, sir.
He was wearing no shirt and brown pants up to his tits.
I like to throw out a balderdash from time to time. I've been known to drop a poppycock, and I'll throw out a pish posh if it's necessary.
Can you ring the bell for me, please? Drop a poppycock.
I can't find it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to the bathroom. Here and it drop is. A poppycock. I'll be right back.
Found it. Oh, good God. What were we talking about?
I don't know.
On the radio one time at the Sound. By the way, did you see the shirt I'm wearing, Larry?
Oh yeah. That's old school.
That's
the Sound.
This is the first. I think this is the first T-shirt that 100.3 The Sound put out.
Yeah.
In 2008.
I don't even think I got one of those.
But I was saying something to Larry on the air, and it was something. I said some anachronism like that, some old term, like there'll be a hootenanny or whatever. And he's like, "Oh well, that's just that's the old 23 Skidoo, Andy." It was the first time somebody made fun of me for sounding old. Didn't care for it,
and it wouldn't be the last.
No, I get a lot of that these days. So Josh, tell us about Mother's Day. How was it?
Oh, it was a day for mothers. You know, didn't really.
Cindy is a lucky woman.
I
made her a big fancy omelet for breakfast, and we celebrate motherhood all day.
Is that a euphemism or something? Hey, what do you say we go back in the bedroom and celebrate motherhood?
Oh, God. let's recreate the act that created motherhood.
Steve Martin said, you know, I like to do some charity work. I do some I do work with unwed mothers. You know what? I just like to give them their start. That's, you know. Larry, what about you? How was Charlotte treated?
Just like a queen. It was mostly revolved around meals because there's not a whole lot else you can do right now. So
exactly.
But we, luckily enough, I have an adult male living with us who can also take some of the brunt. So he took care. I gave him, we lost Josh. All right. He took care of the brunch portion of the day, and he made delightful. I mean, he actually practiced ahead of time. This is how serious he took it. He made eggs Benedict and practiced poaching an egg. Got coached by a friend of his.
Wait, are you saying that Alex got a poach coach?
I wasn't, but I wish I had now. Yes, he got a poach coach and made all of us.
Josh missed the poach coach.
Sorry. Hey. I had snot just poured out of my nose. I'm like, I'm just going to leave and go blow my nose right now.
Well, this is the perfect timing because I was about to describe Alex's hollandaise sauce. So
a hollandaise sauce is, let me see if I got this right. It's eggs and, is it eggs and olive oil and... lemon juice
and butter.
You gotta get butter
in there. Oh, yeah.
And is that just like whipped up and heated? Like what?
It's a really complicated process. You have to basically do like a double boiler thing so that the eggs
right
cook. You have to modulate the heat and kind of stir over a boiling pan of water. Is like, okay, you want it to be that complicated? Go for it. But he pulled it off. It was delightful. On an English muffin, topped everything beautifully. He's got some culinary instincts that are pretty impressive. But I knew he handles breakfast great. It's like the only thing he ever cooks on his own is something to do with eggs, and he gets really creative. But that was delightful. And then we just kind of, you know, kicked it. And I think we probably went on a little hike somewhere on the beach. Let Charlotte do. I made sure that she didn't clean a dish and didn't do anything she didn't want to. She wanted to work in the garden, her choice, which she did. And she worked a little on her art. And then I went on a special trip and got some fresh shrimp and made shrimp scampi with something we never do, some imported pasta, some linguine. Mm-hmm. Didn't make that from scratch. I ain't going to do that. And I got to tell you, I killed my scampi game is strong. That turned out great. It's not how something in my rotation. So I think
everybody's cooking skills, we're all leveling up during this whole thing. I mean,
it's true. I told you guys I've rotated through the five dishes that I'm pretty good at doing multiple times now, and I'm sick of them myself. So I've had to branch out a little bit.
I made Cindy a spicy Thai fried rice because that's what she was just craving for, and I made it for the first time with some real Thai peppers. Oh man, was that good! We've had it like three times since.
Great.
Yeah, super good.
So Andy.
Well, my game has leveled up as well. well, we realized that as the, you know, usually every weekend on Saturday and or Sunday, I will make breakfast. That's my thing. And I'm in charge of anything that's grilled, anything that is on the griddle is my responsibility. So I have gotten to the point where I make waffle batter and pancake batter from scratch. I don't even look at a recipe anymore. I make it from scratch, and they're totally different things, the two. But we realized going into the weekend, we didn't have any flour. There's a flour shortage. We had flour on the way, ordered like a 25-pound bag of flour. but for Laura, it has to be organic flour. She won't, do conventional. So I had to, punt and figure out what I was going to do. Well, I made French toast, and my French toast game is par excellence. It's pretty friggin' good.
I think French toast is an overlooked breakfast delicacy. It is. It doesn't get its credit where it's due.
It seems more complicated because of just the number of steps, but it's not. I mean, if Andy can do it, it's not that. Rough,
it's
right.
It's actually right. It couldn't be easier. Actually, you have a dish with the eggs in it. You murder those eggs. always like, whenever you see in a recipe two eggs slightly beaten, I see two eggs and I'm like have a little sad face, like they're just life's worn them down.
Yeah, when you take them out of the cart and you point at them one at a time, stare at them. Go you. You're next.
I take the eggs and whip them up, take a little half and half.
Yeah.
A little half and half and dash it in there. And the secret ingredient, of course, you know what it is.
For vanilla.
Vanilla and
cinnamon.
Cinnamon. Yeah. So just a little dash of cinnamon in there. Oh my God. Cinnamon. And then we got the griddle,
you know what else you put
on
there?
The stove. What?
A little bit of love.
Oh, well,
I
love
thought you were going to say bourbon. Oh,
okay. Love is the love is the main ingredient.
Hold the love. Put the bourbon in.
Put love and bourbon. Yeah.
Well, there was a little bourbon involved.
Ooh. In the syrup?
At Costco, yeah. At Costco right now, it's expensive as fuck, but they have these jugs of bourbon barrel aged maple syrup.
Oh my.
It is so good. It is
what proof is it?
Oh, there are only trace. It says there may be amounts of alcohol in it, right? Because it's all, it's just, the remnants of what was in the wood.
Right.
But it is the basis of every brown liquor drink I make. Now, like make an old fashioned, I'll start with a teaspoon of that stuff because it's just amazing.
Oh,
it's
really that's a great idea.
Mm. And it's good for like if you're going to roast Brussels sprouts or something like that to have a little glaze on it. Oh, it's so good to cook with. It's amazing. But anyway, the kids got up. We got up early. It was told Vivian, because she likes to wake mommy up early. She's mommy's girl. And she, I said, so tomorrow morning, I want you to not wake up mommy. If you're going to come in the room, you come around to my side of the bed and you wake me up and we'll get out quietly so mommy can sleep in because we have things to do. Okay. Well, she got in bed with us during the night and she was apparently awake that whole time because like 6:30 comes around and I roll over and I have this pair of big eyes right in my face. is it time now? I'm like, yeah. Okay. All right. Let's get up.
Yeah. Owen will do the same thing where he'll just come to the side of the bed and then just stand there. And you'll like open your eyes and there's a kid just staring at you holding a teddy bear. Scares the shit out of you.
it was weird, but So we get up, I get up with the kids and I get them big pieces of paper to make cards for mommy. And I go out and get the last load, I think, of tangerines off our tree to make fresh squeezed tangerine juice. And I'm deep in the brambles of this tree. Just get these last ones and bring those in. And I start the long process of squeezing all the juice and all that shit while the kids are making their cards. And then they're like, what else can we do? And I said, you know what? We should give mommy a bubble bath. Give her a chance to be in the bath this afternoon for an hour, not being bothered. And why don't you make a coupon for hour bubble bath, you know, alone. So Silas makes that. We get everything put together, the fresh coffee, rose on the tray. I make her a mimosa with the tangerine juice. And let me tell you about my mimosa recipe later. But make all of this stuff. We let her sleep till almost 9 o'clock and we carry this stuff in there and she loves it. It's, you know, it's just absolutely great. And so they get up and I make French toast and so forth. We go through the day and comes time for her bath alone, undisturbed with candles around and so forth. Turns into both kids climbing into the bath with her. So wasn't terribly relaxing in that regard. But then I went out and got takeout at a West Hollywood restaurant that she loves called Pura Vita. It's a vegetarian restaurant. Got some linguine. Good God, it was good. I don't know what was in it, man, but it's if I would have that and not, it was, what was it? It was the carbonara. It was just,
oh yeah,
so, oh man,
so good. I couldn't believe how good this stuff was. Oh, ate it.
Pasta's good.
Pasta's your friend.
Oh, I remember when we used to eat. Do you remember for me, it was like late 80s, early 90s, where it was generally considered that pasta was like this really healthy food. Like it was like, yeah, pasta is really good for you. You get the whole grains in there and you get your carbs. You got to get those good. I remember we would have pasta like 3 or 4 times a week. It's shocking
some guy came in on Mark in the Morning one time and he was like a chef or something, and he made, and I was the lucky bastard to got to try it, but he made a spaghetti sandwich and it was like two giant pieces of garlic bread, right? And then he just put a ton of spaghetti in there and just enough sauce so it wasn't like a complete mess, you know, like when he took a bite it just wasn't like all over the place. But then he put like cheese on it and like toasted it all together. So the cheese held everything in place, and you want to talk about just, it was like, I just took one gigantic bite and it was such a carb. Awesome. It was, wow. It was so good. It was amazing.
Was Guy Fieri a nice guy? Was that, did he treat you?
So they asked the guy like how he came up with it, and he very nicely said it was late one night. You know, after him and his friends had come home, and so
God, that sounds great.
Yeah,
it was awesome,
amazing.
Just a big carb bomb.
So that after that happened, we had a pool day during the day as well because it was nice and lovely and warm, and you know, had some time out in the pool together, and that was great.
How is the pool holding up?
It's holding up pretty well. I noticed a little bit of a tilt. Because it's on a slight grade, like a few degree grade, and that has me a little concerned. But it seems to be holding up for the most part. It was a $150 pool, so if it falls over, it won't ruin me.
Think it's gonna die, let me know because I'll come over and come? I'll take it out.
Yeah. Mercy kill the pool.
Exactly. Let's do it the right way. Don't let it sit there and die a slow death. Just let me come over and it'll be quick and it'll be awesome.
Yeah, Josh is like the pool assassin that you call in when you have no other options. Hey, Andy, I know a guy.
Yeah, as I say, nobody knows his name. He shows up
in like, you imagine your business card?
Your business card? You call him the Josh pool Flieger. Cleaner.
pool assassin. Yeah, pool cleaner. I like it.
I come to the door, and when you open the door, I'm like, where's the pool at? That's all I say. Yeah. In the back.
It's in the back usually, Josh. But you got to have your entrance line. I understand. Exactly. Yeah.
He comes to the door with a club with a spike on the end of it over his shoulder. Looking all Buford Pusser. Yeah. You open the door and he just says, where is it?
Yeah, it's a stick with a spike on it and a mop, and that's all he's got.
How many occupations could those be your tools of the trade?
Yeah.
A limited number. But anyway, we're out in the pool and we're having, you know, conversation and Laura says, I said, so what do you want to do tonight? She goes, maybe we could watch a movie together after the kids go to bed. I said, sure, yeah, whatever you want. She goes, really? Could we do Top Gun? Yeah, sure. And
has she ever said that this was like a favorite movie of hers, or have you had this?
Yeah. Okay. When the talk came up about the remake that's coming out at the end of this year, when she started hearing about that a couple of years ago, she was like, oh my God, that movie's so great. I love that movie. It was just amazing. So, you know, she was, what, 7 when the movie came out the first time. But I guess, you know, she saw it on TV and whatever and grew up with it. So it's a favorite of hers, and it has Tom Cruise in it. So anyway, I agree to watch it. I put the movie on, and we're going through it. And about, you know, 5 minutes into the movie, I start saying lines before people say them.
You got to.
Negative Ghost Rider, the pattern is full. She looks over at me. She's like, you know that? You know this? I'm like, I've seen it before. She goes, oh, okay. And then it's like, well, first time crashed and burned. It's looking good so far. You know, like all of these lines, like I knew every single line, you know, 2 seconds before they delivered them. And I'm going through the entire movie. She's like, what is going on? Are you a Top Gun devotee? What is happening here? It blew her mind. But I like every single line of the movie. Talk to me, Goose, talk to me. I mean, everything. At every turn,
we were an inverted dive.
We were inverted.
Bullshit. Yeah.
I swear to God, the only line I know is the need for speed.
I feel the need for speed.
That is literally it. How do you guys know those? I mean, that's not that quotable a movie. How is really?
I'm going to hit the brakes. We'll fly right by. Every line in there is
bullshit. How many times did you see it?
Oh, probably 20.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because here's the thing.
I've only seen probably the whole way through twice, but I've seen 45-minute sections of it 7,000 times.
Right. You know what I mean? It was always on in the 80s and 90s. It was always on TV.
It's still always on.
Yeah. It's, you know, what's her name? Anthony Edwards, yeah, his wife was played by
Meg Ryan, right?
Meg Ryan.
Goose, take me to bed or lose me forever. I mean, every single time,
while he's playing the piano in a bar.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain.
No.
But yeah, that's
that era where I got super snooty about movies because I was just out of film school and I was like, I would go see them, but I wouldn't have any respect for them. And so I wouldn't see any of those again. All those kind of iconic, really slick studio releases, I tended to, except for maybe like Back to the Future and some of the, you know, just like really super fun, like fantasy ones. But yeah, I was such a stick up my ass guy about big studio releases at the time. It had to be like foreign or old, and that was the only thing I saw at the time.
Larry, you're going to end up flying a freighter out of Hong Kong full of rubber dog shit.
Jesus.
I can do all the poses in the volleyball scene.
Oh, now do it.
That one pose that that Iceman does because he's wearing he's wearing the sweatpants or something. He like turns to the side and does the flex.
Yeah,
it's like, why is he doing that? It's dude playing volleyball and you're like flexing in your oiled chest and your dog tags.
I know. Here, it's summer. on the San Diego beach, and they're all wearing jeans and
they all aren't, only Tom Cruise, because he gets on his dirt bike afterwards and cruises down.
Right. Oh God, it was so ridiculous.
And, then he races a jet taking off, and then he raises his fist like to say, "What's up?" Meanwhile, the jet's like, "Yeah, what the fuck? I'm gonna be like, hey buddy, on the motorcycle, what's going on?" He's gonna toot his horn like a truck driver. That's so stupid. That movie has so many stupid moments in it. It's amazing.
It does.
It's one of those, it is very dumb. There's very little based in reality in it, but it caught so many people. Yeah, have you seen you've obviously seen the trailer for the new one. They've got another volleyball scene locked and loaded, ready to go.
Oh, no, they don't, really?
Here's the thing about that volleyball scene. There is not a woman within 10 miles of there. They really are playing with the boys.
And they are definitely baby oiled up too. They get all lathered up. And meanwhile, it looks like it's like 1,000 degrees and they're wearing sweatpants. They're oiled up and rolling around the sand. I'm like, that shit would be all over you. If you got baby oil on and you make one dive in the sand, and then doesn't like Goose or Iceman have like his wrist taped up? Like, oh my God, you're so intense. You got to tape your wrist up for beach volleyball. It's so stupid. It's like, oh my God, you Air Force pilots, you're so intense. Everything you gotta do has gotta be to the max. You gotta tape up your wrist and then you pose. Do that pose. But don't forget your aviators and your dog tags. Those gotta stay on. Stupid.
That was the quintessential. I mean, I don't know if there are many other movies from the 80s where the soundtrack was like so impactful.
Yeah. Take your breath away. You're like, somebody's getting some action every time you hear that song.
Yeah. Also, Sitting on the Dock. They paid for Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Yep.
And of course.
All right.
Listen to it howl and moan.
Yeah, they had a bunch of stuff in there. Tutti Frutti and...
Never close your eyes.
Great Balls of Fire.
Great Balls of Fire.
Brothers.
You've lost that loving feeling.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, good heavens.
That's back when movies could afford to put 1 billion songs on their soundtrack, no matter what era it came from.
Yeah. And people wanted their songs in soundtracks at that point. People were still buying.
Okay, Andy, which one was better, Top Gun or Cocktail?
Top Gun. I always make fun of Cocktail because it's always all of the poems and bullshit that he would say. There once was a man from Nantucket who had all his ice in a bucket.
I would love to be at a bar and somebody stand up and do that, because you know somebody was just gonna drink right out of his crotch. after about minute 4, somebody would be like, "Shut the fuck up! Turn the music on! Kill the DJ! What's going on?"
And they're flipping those bottles around.
I just flipped a bottle of rum 151 and sprayed somebody in the eye with it.
Totally. There's a scene in there where, Fred Willard just died.
They announced it this morning. Yeah.
There's a scene in there where they're just kind of learning to be hotshot bartenders, right?
Yeah.
And they're dancing around like Pat Benatar at the beginning of Love is a Battlefield, and, you know, getting low and walking like an Egyptian, all that kind of shit. Yeah. They're doing. I turned to Laura. I'm like, what a dick. I walk into a place like that. I'm like, that's an asshole.
Right. Yeah. I order a drink from him and immediately throw it in his chest.
What a jagoff. And she goes, yeah. But he's beautiful. I'm like, okay, he's a beautiful jagoff, because that's not right. Anyway, hey guys, we got a couple
Andy, this might be a good time to pause. I think you might be having that digital thing going on. I'm here.
Oh, hold, please. And we're back.
Hey, everybody.
There we go.
Thanks for letting me know that I was turning into a robot.
we almost just gave you half a show.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I've ordered the replacement part for that thing.
What's okay? Is it a dongle?
No, this is, I don't know what you call this. This is a dingle. It's, this was pricey. Yeah, this is
there's nothing worse than a pricey dingle.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I hate paying out the ass for a pricey dingle.
Let's just let that rest for a second.
Have you ever had a pricey dingle up the ass? That's what I want to know.
You're too. That's pretty great.
All right, so let's talk about Mother's Day again.
This is a pricey piece of kit that's coming to take care of things. Hopefully for a good long time. But I had to get. It's one of those things where, you know, Larry, there are certain things you can just buy because they're business expenses. You need them, like that podcasting thing you got. You just need that. You don't have to go to Charlotte and say, Charlotte, I'm thinking about making an investment. You need it for your work, and it's tax deductible, and she can get bent. You needed to have that.
No, that's not how that went down at all.
That isn't?
Not at all.
Are you sure?
Did you have to grovel for that thing?
No, I didn't. I just told her, I think this is going to be really important. I think it's, I talked to her about it and said, I felt guilty about making that kind of purchase, especially after we just moved into a house and, you know, shelled out a load of money to get the move made and everything. But I just knew it was going to make me sound better on the radio, and the company was, there was no way they were willing to pay for it. And plus they would own it and take it back for sure. I ran it by her and said, I really think this is important. And she said, you don't have to ask me. And I was like, oh, no.
She actually told you to get bent.
Yeah, she did.
Well, that's what I'm saying is there's a price point where you need to get permission from your significant other, from the person with whom your finances are commingled. There's a point. If
everybody needs to buy in. In at least in my house, I don't usually use the get bent attitude, but maybe you'll learn over time.
You know, that works so well with the wife. I find that I'm just going to go into this conversation with the get bent attitude. And I guarantee everybody's going to come out happy.
You know what? She can lump it. You know what, Laura? If you've listened this far into this episode, I just want to say I really sympathize with you.
We're sorry.
We're both, Josh and I, are truly sorry.
What do you mean?
Anyway, you were about to transition into something before we got rudely interrupted by electronic distress.
What were we talking? I was just going to say there's a price point where you need to get permission. Like if you're going to buy headphones, you can just go buy headphones. I don't think you need to send that through the office in triplicate. This was one of those things where it was so pricey. I'm like, honey, can I? I promise. I promise I'll sell some other shit. And,
I won't eat dinner for a week.
I'll try to get a coupon and all that. But, you know, but it's something that I need. Quite clearly, I can't keep doing, podcast. This isn't making any money, but I do work that does. I'm doing interviews with artists. Right. Like, this next week, I'm talking to Steve Earle Not a Surf in Zoom meetings. If that happens in the middle of the Zoom meeting, I have to start the meeting by saying, excuse me, Mr. Earl. If I start sounding like a robot, will you raise your right hand and let me know so I can flip my dingle? It's not sustainable, right? This is I'm supposed to be a professional broadcaster in Los Angeles.
That's right.
I got to
you
get
have something. To you have to maintain the illusion of being a professional broadcaster.
Exactly.
I don't think I like the way you rephrase
it. Hey, did we have any calls?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
I think that's where you were headed. We should go there quickly.
Where I'm headed is
need to play. Hey, Andy, before we start, do you want to ask Laura permission to take calls?
Shut up! I want to ask Charlotte permission to take calls. First, we need to play this. Low energy bite. Low energy bite. All right, then. Here we go with caller number one.
Hey, Afris. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. First off, I want to thank Peter from Northern California for for rekindling the long lost shed talk. That was awesome.
Oh God!
It is. My local beer joint has replaced the Pelican Brewing Unobtainium beer with a really nice hazy IPA from Terminal Gravity Brewing in Enterprise, Oregon. This is a growler to go only kind of thing.
Oh, love the growler.
They're talking maybe Friday about having a limited sit down opening. My harmonicas are getting rusty. My rock supplier just started crushing again and is turning out some superior 3/4 minus. This makes truck spreading a dream. I've done several driveways this week with the fresh rock. The customers have been delighted. Today I'm working on upgraded French drain. Mud from the hillside washes onto the drain rock, plugging it up. So I upped the pipe size to 6-inch. And we're using road fabric behind boulders and riprap to hold the hill.
Of course.
It's a pretty good day for a ditch digging, man.
It's a pretty good day for a rock crusher.
See you later.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael.
It's like every episode he's got to bust out some new piece of equipment and blow our minds. So it's, now it's he's got a rock crusher?
It's incredible. Hold on. Before we discuss that, let's do this.
That was Low Energy Mike. That was Low Energy Mike.
Yeah, that has to be taken care of. Yeah, I guess he's got a rock crusher.
Wow. Where does he get all this stuff?
I think that, you know, once you get really good at doing something like that, you get to the point where you've
people
got,
just give you shit.
Well, I would imagine that you know, not everybody can do it, and you fetch a pretty penny for right. being able to be proficient in all of those things. I think Mike is doing well for himself. I think he also keeps the cost down because he's such a jack of all trades that if he needs a new piece of equipment, he'll just go out and put it on the lathe and turn it himself and he doesn't have to go to somebody else.
Yeah. And, he doesn't have to ask his wife for permission. I think Mike
he doesn't have to call Charlotte.
Yeah. I think Mike is like, I feel like talk about living your best life, man. It's just like he's an outdoor adventure guy with the most amazing dog. He's got great taste in beer and has access to excellent, different brands and labels. And he does a good day's hard work that he's virtually an expert at, can do apparently, you know, anything asked of him and earns a good living for that. And has a musical acumen as well with playing the harmonica at the local tavern. I mean, I want to be like Mike.
I feel like everything that he owns besides like light bulbs, he's made. You know what I mean? Like he's one of those types of guys that he's just, I think he's probably built his own bike. He just everything.
There's a hand-hewn log cabin somewhere in Oregon that he's put together, you know, log by log.
The man has his own theme song for fuck's sake.
I know. Well,
there you go.
I've been in radio for over 30 years. I've never had a theme song.
He's my superhero, man. I aspire to live a life.
He's like the spirit animal of this podcast.
Absolutely. That's what I'm looking for. But yes. What's next?
We got one more phone call. Yeah.
Yes,
ready?
Yes.
This is Doug in Washington State, gentlemen. Guys, shouldn't use that term loosely.
Yeah, please.
Hope you're staying safe, enjoying this COVID experience about as much as a Neil Young solo. Wanted to say thanks for your show. It's been enjoyable helping take our minds off some of this crap. Stay safe, and I'd be nice to Larry. You know, us older folks need to
look
out for each other.
Wow.
Have a good one, guys. Thanks.
All right.
I like the turn that took. Larry was smiling and like, oh shit,
sticking up for me a little bit there, but it did take an ugly turn.
That was lovely. By the way, for people to say things like that, when the three of us know the quality of this program has just been
terrible.
It's been shit.
Yeah.
So much shit. It's unbelievable.
That either means that our scintillating personalities shine through even adverse conditions, or these people are really fucking hard up for any kind of information or content they can get.
People are running out of entertainment. It's true. They are clearly scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Oh, by the way, the phone number that they called those people right there, that other people could call if they want to talk about anything, is...
look behind that curtain and tell us, Andy.
626-657-6428. 626-657-6428.
One more time, that number is...
O-Amuck PM Hat is the mnemonic device for that.
I got a quick question for you. How are you holding up gastrointestinally back then? How are you holding up?
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Andy, yes.
Oh.
Well, I mean.
That part didn't make the podcast.
I know. I was going to say, are you holding up okay?
When we sat down, talk about pulling back the curtain. When we sat down here an hour ago, I said to Josh, yeah, okay, let's do this. He goes, what? I said, I almost just texted you guys and said, give me 10 minutes because I think I have to go shit my guts out. He's like, well, do you need to go? I'm like, taking the temperature of it. I think I'm going to be okay. I think I'm going to make it. And turns out I rallied and everything's just fine. Thank you for bringing it up, Josh. Much obliged.
I just wanted to make sure you're okay.
Yeah, and extending the conversation to make it that much more painful.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Thanks for that call.
Are you clenching yet? Are you clenching yet? You still good? You still loosey goosey?
I don't have a dingle up my ass at this point.
am I knocking on the back door?
Somebody's ringing the bell.
It's been great. Sorry, folks, you had to wait a whole 55 minutes for poop talk. Sorry. You knew it was coming.
Was there anything else you guys needed to cover? Did we touch all your bases?
No, but well, I mean, one thing you asked us, it was a long 2 weeks ago.
Oh, and
we
God,
can maybe,
it was.
We can put this off until next week because as it gets closer to the actual season, or you could even wait until the solstice if you want. But asked us about the summer song. So
what's the definition of a summer song? A song about summer or a song that I remember listening to in summer?
The way I interpreted it, Andy, was the song that is in my estimation the song that typifies summer, that has the essence, that gives off the essence of summer. That's the way I took it. Any of those?
Yeah, I like that.
All of them?
That typifies summer. That is quintessentially a summer song for you. You can take it literally. It could be a song with summer in the title that makes you think of summer, or it could be a song that just sounds like summer. You know, like Magic from the Cars. This isn't my example that I'll have, but you know, that always seemed like a summery song to me. Sounds like a song you'd hear out by the poolside. Those kinds of things, or maybe it's something that other people would hear and they'd be like, "What? There's nothing summery about that." Like I can think of. When I was, you know, young in like third grade, being at the Greenwood City pool and hearing over the speakers, Chicago's If You Leave Me Now. And, you know, the first time I heard it and I was just sitting there hearing, if you leave me now, you take it. And I just liked the song. It just, you know,
at
the moment. And whenever I hear that song, I think of a summer evening in, you know, when I was a kid. So it could be any story, but I'm just interested in the stories behind songs. And I thought that was a fun one to throw out.
Okay.
Do you know, is it Living After Midnight by Judas Priest?
Yeah, I don't want to tip my hand, but I'm pretty sure MacArthur Park is going to be right
up
there.
Oh, God damn it. No. That is the worst.
What's that shitty boat song?
The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. but that slowed down to 16 revolutions per minute, though.
I love that song.
I hear that song.
Send me your... send me your summer song, and I'll have clips ready so we can play a little bit of them down the line. We'll surprise, surprise
mine are,
Andy.
Mine are weird, believe
That's
it or
fine.
Not.
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
I should send you mine, too, because you can play stuff down the line, right?
Yeah. I mean, are you hearing this?
Nope. Oh, yeah, I heard that. Unless you have a dog. Is that a sound effect?
That was a sound effect. Oh, no. That's Josh's dog.
I was going to say, that sounds exactly like my dog.
I sampled your dog barking from the last four podcasts, Josh.
I swear to God, the dog has been in this room the whole time, and I didn't know, and then all of a sudden you said, I'm going to play a noise, and he started barking. I was like, that sounds like my damn dog. And I'm sitting there staring at the screen. I'm like, is that my dog? And I'm like, I turn around, and my dog is sitting there staring at me.
I still don't know. I still don't know if that was your dog or a sound effect.
No, it was my dog.
Then we didn't hear your sound effect down the line.
No. Okay, well.
And I have no idea why my dog barked at that exact moment either. There's no reason.
That was amazing. That was amazing. How can people get a hold of you, Larry?
On the Instagram, follow me at the Larry Morgan. That's the Larry Morgan. And hey, I'll probably eventually follow you back once I notice that stuff.
All right. Nice. What about you, Josh?
You can hit me up at joshuajflinger@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook too.
Yeah.
And like Josh, this podcast.
Send Josh a picture
of your dick.
Of a dingle up your butt.
Oh,
we're way more sophisticated than that.
When
the people that you know don't like you.
And your treasures and friendships, and this podcast where you are our friends.
That was semi shit.
Worst reverb.
Amazing. It's Zoom verb. Love you guys. Always great to see you.
Bye-bye.
Very nice to see you. Have a great week.